City Talk.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Right, let's head up to Royal Troon, the beautiful links of Royal Troon, and speak to Carl Markham from the Press Association. Morning to you, Carl.
Morning, Steve. You okay?
Yeah, very good. Thanks for joining me. How's it looking this morning? How's the weather been for a couple of days up there?
This morning is probably the best day that we've arrived to. Sunshine. It's windy, as it always is at these courses, but it's definitely been the best day of the week so far, weather-wise. But that can change at a moment's notice, as we know, with the Open. So we'll see what tomorrow brings.
What is the forecast for the 4 days? I mean, there'll be plenty of people heading from all over the country there, thinking, "Am I going to get a dry day?"
There's bits of rain here and there. I mean, the rain obviously is a problem for spectators. It's not so much a problem for the players. It's the wind that's usually the problem for the players, because they always talk about which wind are we playing in today. So it depends on, say, where it's coming from as to how easy the course plays. So I think coming to Scotland in July, you still have to expect rain if you're a spectator. But I say it's the wind that the players will be watching, because that affects their game more than anything else.
Right, I should say, Carl is an old-timer, a past master of covering Open Championship. You've done a few of these, haven't you, Carl?
Yeah, 2005, my first one. So, yeah, I've done a few.
And the whole beast that goes behind the Open Championship, of course, I've seen it at Hoylake and Birkdale, which is back at Birkdale next year. The media operation that runs behind it is simply enormous. You'd think it's glamorous, but for Paul Carl, you're literally sat in a giant, and I mean, I say giant, it is humongous, isn't it? Media room with all the scores constantly changing in front of you.
Yeah, you say media room, it's more of a tent, really. I mean, it's a huge tent, but it is a tent. We get well looked after. We've all sorts on site, but yes, we are sat in a tent looking at the scores come in as the play goes on. For the first sort of couple of days, I don't get to see much of the actual live play, because, say, we're off from, you know, 6:30 in the morning, and it's just non-stop till the last group goes off at, you know, like 3:20, 4:00 in the afternoon. So then they play right up until, because we're on the west coast of Scotland, it stays light. They play up until like 10:00 at night. So so we're sort of here for a long time, but it's a good time.
Yeah, but don't let anyone say it's glamorous. It's not. Right, so just in terms of what's going to happen out there, in the past couple of days and the way the Open works, they basically put all the major players out in front of you for Tuesday, for Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so you can get the chance, the world's press can get the chance to interview them. Of course, Tiger wasn't there, but Rory's made an awful lot of headlines today, the day before the Open starts, and he's causing a bit of controversy. Were you in this Rory McIlroy press conference?
Yeah, I was. I mean, obviously, it's been a strange Open, really, because there's been more talk about things other than the actual Open. I mean, the Olympics, as you alluded to there, has dominated things for the first 2 days. And we've got this morning, we've got a Team GB press conference about the Olympics starting at 9:00. So there's been so much more talk about the Olympics than there is actually, you know, about winning the Claret Jug. So we had Rory come in yesterday, and his position, I won't say it's changed, but I mean, he announced he wasn't playing at the Olympics. It was so because of the Zika virus. And then gradually as we've gone on, he's expanded on his thoughts on. So 2 weeks ago at the French Open, we had, you know, him saying the Olympics just isn't the pinnacle of a golfer's career, and it's not. He said that's not why he's interested. And then yesterday we also had a two-pronged attack where he got asked about drugs testing. Has the Olympics coming up this year, you know, it made a difference to the drugs testing? And basically, he just sort of went off on one saying, you know, the drug testing in golf is not good enough for what it should be. I mean, it was a throwaway line, but he effectively said, I could take human growth hormone and get away with it because the testing isn't good enough to detect it. He said, I don't get blood tested like, you know, athletes in cycling or athletics, whatever, get done. So, and he qualified by saying, you know, I don't know any drugs that would improve a golfer's general all-round performance. He said, but it's just the drug testing needs to be improved. And then as a final throwaway line, someone asked him about the Olympics and what they'd be watching. And he said, swimming, diving, track and field, you know, the events that matter. He didn't mention golf at all. So it's safe to say he's not a fan. And obviously then that that obviously then transcends into headlines because it's Rory McIlroy, who's one of the stars of the sport, saying he's not basically interested in a golf showpiece event at the Olympics, which they've been trying so hard to get in for so long.
Well, they have. And there's a few pieces today which is basically saying there'll be a review next year as to whether golf is on the rota for Tokyo 2020. Whether this in any way will put it in doubt is the interesting factor. Was Rory under fire from the press over saying these things yesterday, or was there a relative... I don't know, were the press back in sort of agreement with what his thoughts on the Olympics?
I think there was, there's a split, but I think there's a general appreciation at his honesty. That a lot of people have skirted around this issue, you know, and have hidden behind, you know, oh, I'm not going because of the Zika virus, and not going through other issues, you know, maybe security or just the fact that the Olympics just isn't something that sort of that interests them. So I think there was an appreciative risk of his honesty for coming out and saying this. But I mean, then you had, early in the day, you had Jordan Spieth, who was saying, I'm not going this time, but it is something I want to do. It's just I've made a personal choice and a personal decision on Rio, but that doesn't mean to say I don't want to be in the Olympics in the future. And there are quite a few golfers who are really keen to go and be part of the Olympics. So there's almost a split between the golf writers as well. That, you know, some are saying, well, it's great that the golf gets more exposure through the Olympics, and others, you know, who cover this sport 42 weeks a year or whatever they do, just saying, you know, we've grown up on the four majors. You know, this is the schedule, and these are the four majors, and this is what everyone tries to peak for. So are we really that bothered about the Olympics? So it's almost a split between the players and the journalists who have sort of either side of the fence, really. I don't think there's one sort of defining theme.
I'm a traditionalist. It's all about the majors for me, not about the Olympics. The same with these new boxing rules, the same with sort of tennis in the Olympics. To me, they don't belong there. But let's shift on to the Open Championship. Right, last 10 winners of the Open. Zach Johnson last year, Rory before that, Phil Mickelson, Ernie Els, Darren Clark, Louis Oosthuizen, Stuart Sink, Padraig twice, of course, and Tiger Woods. That tells you that big players have a tendency to win this championship. But rewind 12 years to the last time it was at Troon, and a relatively, I'm going to say unknown, but little known, particularly on these shores, Todd Hamilton, who didn't even enter or come into the tournament in any great form, lifts the claret jug in 2004. So it can happen, can't it? You can get an underdog.
Yeah, it can. I mean, you look back as well, so you have Ben Curtis as well, who won it, who was absolutely unknown, even until, you know, the last few holes of his final round, no one had paid him any attention when he was playing at St. George's. It's just every so often it does throw up, you know, these stories. We had Tom Watson at Turnberry almost contending. I mean, I know Tom Watson was a major winner, but no one expected him to contend, you know, at the age he was contending. So the Open, because it's such a big event and there's such a huge field, there's always some little story, or, you know, someone will sneak through and we'll have a good week and they do have a chance. But you're right, it does tend to, a law of averages tends to suggest that it's one of the bigger players who will sort of come to the fore in the end. And it's difficult to look past, you know, the world's top four at the moment who are sort of you've got Dustin Johnson, who's won his last two events, and they're not inconsiderable events, at the US Open and the WGC Bridgestone. I mean, he's the world's form player at the moment. But Jordan Spieth, who's not playing particularly well, but still, you know, still getting decent results. Jason Day, three wins this season. McIlroy, who was asked yesterday, do you feel like you're defending your title, because obviously you missed last year because he was injured? And he said, well, no, it'd be a bit unfair on Zach Johnson to say I'm defending my title.
But that's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, that's the esteem that, you know, with the great respect to Zach Johnson, who is a two-time major winner, that is the esteem that McIlroy is held in. You know, people want him, almost are willing him to succeed just because they're desperate for someone, you know, in this, I hate to say post-Tiger era, but with no Tiger Woods, you know, who's the multiple major winner, they're desperate for someone to take on that mantle and be the standout player. But at the moment, I say we've got sort of a top four who are battling out for supremacy, and I think that's probably better in a way than having one player who who dominates it all. But yeah, you'd have to look at the top four would you'd have to come into contention again this week just because of their sort of overriding quality.
Have you had a little follow around with any of these groups so far? Because obviously in these practice days, there's more of a chance to get a little bit closer. Have you managed to walk around the course, Carl?
I might do it today. Yeah, yesterday was usually the main preview day. Today's a bit lower key. We've got Dustin Johnson in today, but all the big names today. We had McIlroy, Spieth, Justin Rose. They were all in yesterday. So it's a full day of press conferences yesterday from 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock. We were due to have Sergio in yesterday afternoon, and he cancelled his press conference because he wanted to practice more. So I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign for this week. But there's a lot of love for Sergio again, as there always is an open week. The British crowd tend to taken to their heart. So there's sort of another good feeling for him this week, whether that will sort of transmit itself into performances. But he does appear to come into a bit of a form. So I shall maybe get out this afternoon. It's a bit quieter this afternoon, so I'll have a bit of a wander and just see if I can pick up. Because as you know, that the practice rounds are sometimes all over the place on the day before. Not many players want to play a full round, so they'll play 6 holes, 9 holes, 12 holes, and they'll jump backwards and forwards on different parts of the course depending on whether to test the different winds and just so very few play full 18. They just sort of play a few holes just to check things, and then they'll be off for a bit of a rest. So I'll see and go find later on today.
It's one of the great events to go and watch live. It really is. I mean, you can skip around the holes, you can get yourself a lovely beer or a bit of food. It's nice, and it's back at Birkdale next year, so a bit closer to home for be better for all of us. Just a quickie from me, an outsider from me, Chris Wood, one at Wentworth. I've seen his game improve over the years. You might get some good odds on Chris Wood. Give me an outsider from your point of view, Carl.
Oh, an outsider. I mean, it depends what you call an outsider, because obviously there are some people at 250 to 1. But I mean,
Lee Westwood.
Perennial. Lee Westwood. Will he do it? Yeah. There's Brandon Grace, South African. I mean, he's not. I won't say he's an outsider, but I think he's maybe 20 to 1. I don't know, but I've not checked this morning. But there's a lot of interest in him this week, just because of his consistency and the way he's playing. So. If you want to look for someone outside the world sort of top four, top ten, then Brandon Grace is maybe not the outsider who's a real rank outsider. But as you say, there aren't that many real rank outsiders who come through and win nowadays. So you've got to look for sort of those just out the main group of contenders and look for a bit of value there. So yeah, so Brandon Grace.
Carl, thanks for joining me. Enjoy your 4 days in that giant tent.
Will do, thanks.
Take care. Carl Markham from the Press Association covering the Open Championship at Royal Troon.
Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.